Hey, greetings everyone. It's Brother Tupo, StoneParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, coming to you, ready to get right back in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Jude. We've gotten up to verse 10. You can go to StoneParish.com and catch up. Click on the verse-by-verse tab. You'll find all the Matthew studies there. You can find the other Jude studies there. We're going to pick up and we're going to go through verses 11 through 15 today. So let's get right to it. The book of Jude. Verse 11, Jude says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the naysaying of Kor." All right, so remember, this little book is all about false teachers, apostasy. Jude is warning us over and over, told us to earnestly contend for the faith. Now he's telling us what these people are about, what these men are about. And Jude uses the word woe. It's an exclamation of grief. We see Jesus using it in Matthew 23. Isaiah used it in chapter 5. Woe. It is basically an exclamation towards grief, towards something someone is doing. It's kind of a warning. Jude mentions Cain. Do you remember Cain? Cain was a farmer who murdered his brother Abel. Why? Well, God received Abel's offering, and Cain was angry, jealous, whatever you want to call him. Go read about that in Genesis 4. He got angry. And false teachers today often have the same issue. They're angry at God. They don't like God's word, God's commandments, God's doctrines, God's ways. They want to do it their own way, puffed up in pride, just like Cain. And they go the way of Cain, who got marked by God and sent off. Not a good thing. And then Jude mentions Balaam. Go read about Balaam in Numbers 22 through 25. He was a man who was rewarded. He had the Israelites, convinced them to have the Israelites get corrupted by marrying pagan women off, or marrying pagan women. And Jude mentions greed. So this Balaam was rewarded for his working against Israel. Jude mentions greed. Well, we know from the other scriptures, right? We always use scripture to interpret scripture. We know from other scriptures, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yeah, if you love money, money's not evil. But if you love money, it can pierce you through with many, many sorrows. That's what happened with Balaam. And Jude warns about how they went the way of him. And then Jude mentions Korah. This is a man you can read about in Numbers 16. What about this Korah? Well, God had appointed Aaron to be the high priest. Korah had other thoughts. You can read about what happened with Moses and the earth opened up and swallowed a whole bunch of people up. Jude mentions naysaying. That means disputing and disobedience. Yeah, this man Korah rebelled against God's desires in disputing and disobedience. Isn't that what false teachers do? That's exactly what false teachers do. So Jude is pronouncing a rebuke against them, and he's comparing these current false teachers to those false teachers of old, sinful men of the past, to give us a good example. We always see that. We see in the Bible always using examples of other people's sin and other people's false teaching. You know, people get mad when I expose a false teacher or you put his name out there. The Bible is doing it all the time. False teachers being exposed over and over, used as examples. Yeah, I always tell people, David. Everybody remembers David. The first thing people think about is not what a great and godly king. He was that. most people remember? Adulterer and murderer. He never got away from that. He was forgiven, but he never got away from it. So God uses people's sinfulness as examples for us all. Verse 12. These are spots in your love feasts of charity. All right. So love feast is talking about the gathering of the saints. Meals were very important to them. Charity is love. So they come together in love. They're having these feasts. He says they are spots. That word spelos in the Greek. It means a rock, a reef, or men who damage others morally. So these are men, like a reef. You know what a reef is? A reef is a line of rocks that goes out under the water. And if you don't know it's there, you run your boat out and it sinks you. That's what these false teachers are. They're under the surface. You can't tell and they'll destroy you. Yeah. And that's what he's talking about there. He calls them spots in their love feasts. It's like a blemish. You could also think of something that stands out, but something that's very dangerous. And then Jude says, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Yeah, like I said, eating was a part of unity and fellowship in the New Testament body. And who you are eating with mattered. Go read Acts 2. It talks about them breaking the bread and being in prayers and being in the apostles' doctrines. And he says they eat without fear. Well, that makes me think of the Lord's Supper. They usually, history says, were taking the Lord's Supper when they ate. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 to examine yourself before you take the Lord's Supper because men were taking it in sin and God was killing them. Yeah, go read 1 Corinthians 11. God was killing them. So lacking fear means they have no fear of God. They have no fear of judgment. They have no fear of walking in error and false ways. What does Proverbs 9:10 say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Yeah, these men that he's talking about did not have that. And without fear, you have not wisdom. Without wisdom, you will not get to understanding. Very, very important. False teachers obviously do not fear the Lord, do they? As they should. No, they don't. Jude continues. He says this. He says they are clouds without water. So clouds without water, what does that mean? Imagine you lived in a desert and you need rain, right? You need rain. And all of a sudden you see these dark clouds come in and you get all excited. And all of a sudden, once you see them, you realize, you know what? They're clouds without rain. There's no water in them. They're useless to us. How disappointing. That's a lot like men that are void of the truth of God. They claim to be this and that. They claim to be teachers, but they're void of the truth of God. 2 Peter 2:17. Remember I said Peter often mirrors Jude, or Jude mirrors Peter, either one. 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried without a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Yeah, sounds a lot like Jude, doesn't it? Yeah. So clouds without water, not a good thing. It means they're empty and void of that which is valuable, nourishing, living water, the truth of God. Then Jude says, carried about by winds. So these type of men, and we're seeing a pattern here, we're warned about, we are warned about them all over in Scripture. How about Ephesians 4:14? That henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yeah, catch that? Tossed around by every wind of doctrine. So if you're not walking in the truth of God and you don't know Scripture and you don't know the doctrine of God, you're going to get tossed about and you are going to end up in grave, grave trouble. Not following the Lord, following false teachers, following your flesh, following the culture, whatever it may be. So Ephesians 4 and other places warns us about these type of men tossed about by money by corruption, by greed, having no fear. Then Jude continues, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Well, what do trees that are fruit trees, what are they supposed to produce? Fruit, right? And once the fruit is vanished, what's the good of the fruit tree? They're to produce fruit. Their fate is going to be sealed if they don't produce godly fruit. It's going to be plucked up, and he says twice dead. It reminds me of John 15:6. If a man abide not in me, Christ said, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. Look what happens when you don't produce fruit. Cast in the fire and then burned. Yeah, talk about faith plus work. So much for your faith only. The Bible calls us to produce fruit. I asked a man in the street the other day, he was claiming to be a Christian as he's at a worldly event, looking worldly, acting worldly. I said, do you claim to have the Holy Spirit of God in you? He said, yeah. I said, what does the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, produce in a person? Holiness, truth, righteousness, and goodness, or worldliness, flesh, sin, and carnality? He looked down and he goes, yeah, it would produce what those other things you said. But he was pretty much admitting that he didn't have that in his life. There's a condemnation for him. I hope he takes those words to heart and repents of that. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Yeah, so Jude compares them to waves. We've all seen this, haven't we? We see waves go out, they rage, they rise up, they foam, right? They look all powerful. But what happens? They come to shore, and most times they just break, like when the wave breaks, and there's nothing left to them. To their own shame. They look like something, but they're nothing. They're false. They don't have the truth in them. They're void of the doctrines of God. They're void of the Spirit of God. They're void of the rock, the solid rock built on the foundations of Christ. And what do they have? Nothing. They rise up, they foam to their own shame, and they go away. They're nothing. They're wells without water, clouds without rain. And then Jude keeps going. He's brutal to them. Brutal on these men. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Yeah, what's a star? A star is something in the heavens set in place by the Creator God. A wandering star would be what? A rebellious one. He mentions blackness and darkness forever. A wandering star, blackness and darkness forever. You know what that reminds me of? Satan. Satan's called the morning star in Isaiah 14:12. And he walks about, roams about, doing what? Seeking whom he can devour, 1 Peter 5:8. That's what these false teachers are like. They're not set in place. They're not serving the purpose of God. They're like Satan and his angels. They've gone their way, like Jude told us in the earlier studies. They've gone their own way. What did he say? They're outside of their habitation. These false teachers have left their habitation, which means the place that God put them in. And now they're doing their own thing, walking in deception and sin that's going to lead them to this darkness that Jude is talking about. All this description about these false men, what it should show you is that you, saints, and me as well, we should all have great disdain for false teachers and false doctrine, right? How many people say, oh, they're good here, they're good there. Yeah, they got a little bit of bad stuff there. No, Jude's not cutting them any slack. He is calling them out for what they are. And that's glorifying to God, to hate every false way, Psalm 119:104, to publicly rebuke those in sin, 1 Timothy 5, to mark and avoid them, 1 Timothy 6, Romans 16:17, Titus 3. The Bible is very, very harsh on false teachers. That's why I'm harsh on false teachers. But you notice the culture and churchianity is more and more accepting of false teachers. Why? Jesus said the last days will be filled with nothing but false teachers. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. All right, so Jude mentions Enoch here. Enoch is a godly man who lived before Noah. And the Bible tells us God took him up one day. He didn't even die. Kind of like a total miracle, one of the early miracles of the Bible, and a total marking of a godly man. He didn't see corruption. He didn't. Some people have said it's an archetype of Jesus where he took up Enoch, and Enoch was such a godly man that God brought him up, raised him up. Some people have said it's kind of an archetype of the Christ to come. And so some people also claim by reading this that Jude is quoting from a book called the Book of Enoch. It's an uninspired book that came along. They're saying Jude is quoting from this uninspired book. But if you compare what Jude is saying to what the Book of Enoch is saying, the texts are very different, so I throw that out. I don't believe that at all. I believe he was stating perhaps one of two things, either exactly what the Holy Spirit gave him inspired to say, or he was inspired to talk about an oral tradition that they knew about Enoch in that time. We can't know for sure, but he definitely is not promoting the Book of Enoch. It doesn't have the signature to be Holy Spirit inspired. Just because it says, remember this, just because it says the Book of Enoch doesn't mean it was written by Enoch. Many, many books of the Apocrypha are false and not to be followed. I have an article on the Apocrypha exposed at the teaching blog. So that's an interesting note about Enoch. And many people, again, try to bring in all these extra biblical writings, but I don't believe you could do that here. There are other places in Scripture where Holy Spirit-inspired Scripture mentions other people's writings. Paul, in the book of Acts, mentions some Greek poets. That doesn't mean they're Holy Spirit-inspired. He was doing it for a purpose and a point. I think Jude is doing that same thing right here. Make sense? Verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He uses that word ungodly, what, 3-4 times there? Yeah, ungodly. 4 times. Jude is warning, all right? He's giving us a clear warning about the deeds of these men. And Christ's judgment is going to come. And at his return, he's going to separate. Matthew 24, 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So Christ there is talking about how he's going to send his angels to pick up his elect. And 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9 tells us what Christ is going to do with everyone else. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory. Hey, deeds, your works. Yeah, you're going to be judged by him. You're going to be separated by him. Because if you're up born of Christ and you have the gift of God, you're living a holy, righteous life full of holiness and righteousness. So much for your faith alone, grace alone, salvation. Yeah, throw that out the window. No Bible verse says faith alone or grace alone. Jude mentions the deeds of these ungodly people. We're going to be judged by our deeds. Do you realize that, saints? Romans 2, 6 through 8, ready? Who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient countenance in well doing seek the glory and honor immortality of eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. He's talking about obedience here. But obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Then verses 9 and 10. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of the man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and Gentile also. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh to good, to the Jew first and the Gentile also. You live in wickedness and unrepented sin, you're going to get the wrath of God. You live a righteous life because of what Christ has done and you're clinging to Him, you're going to get eternal life and forgiveness. Jude, throughout this whole book, is telling us about these false teachers, warning us, let us compare ourselves against them, or at least use them as an example. Maybe not compare against them, but use them as an example. And then he warns us that God's going to execute His wrath on these false teachers, and they will get what they have sown. Catch that? They're going to get what they have sown. The Bible teaches us we reap what we sow, it says in the book of Galatians. So keep in mind as we continue through this letter, notice, again, I said this before, I'll say it again, Jude has nothing good to say about these apostate false teachers, nor should we. You know, I hear this all the time. Well, yeah, he's a big false teacher, but he's got this right and that right, and he's really nice, and they give some money away. We hear people saying good things about false teachers. No, if you're of God, you're not a false teacher. And the good things are only there to deceive you. Yeah, Satan does good things. Mormons do good things. Muslims do good things. Roman Catholics do good things. Atheists do good things. Those are only there to deceive people. So he calls them out. Jude does. So does Paul and Jesus and Peter and John the Baptist. We need to call them out too, men. We need to stand against them and warn people about them. So be on guard against such wicked apostate men. Jude is a good example to us. We'll keep going. We can use scriptures like Romans 16, 17 that tell us that we must mark and avoid these false teachers. They're everywhere today, all over. Do not be deceived by them. Hey, I hope this has been a blessing to you. We will pick up at verse 16 next time. Pick up at verse 16 in the book of Jude. I hope you go out and have a glorious day. We're getting ready to go out and street preach tomorrow. Go to don'tperish.com, check out the gospel, check out all our resources. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We're striving every day because we love God, we love our neighbors. We hope you're striving too. Walk in holiness before this glorious God. He is so worthy to be praised. We love you all. Go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.